ABC News.
So with Victoria in the midst of its second hard lockdown sparked by a hotel quarantine breach, health experts are again calling for quarantine facilities to be moved out of city centres. Victoria has stopped all international arrivals for now, but New South Wales and Queensland are doubling their intake from today, with New South Wales to accept more than 3,000 people a week. Dr. Benjamin Vaness is co-founder of advocacy group Healthcare Workers Australia, and he joins us now. Hello, Benjamin.
Hello.
Now, you're among a group that is again calling for hotel quarantine to move to the regions. The argument not to in the past has been that people need to be close to city health facilities. So what's your response to that argument?
Well, you don't necessarily need to move all of hotel quarantine to the regions, but there are various things that you could do to try and make it safer. Mostly, that's about increasing access to fresh air, better ventilation, distance from people who are working in those facilities and liable to become infected and then transmit that amongst a big community in a place like Melbourne. So when I say that, I'm thinking about risk stratifying of returning travellers. Anyone who might already be vaccinated, for example, people who are younger and therefore much less likely to get severe COVID disease and need to be admitted to hospital, they're the types of people who would be really appropriate to put in facilities that are further away from major tertiary health facilities, which would mean that the number of people who actually need to be close to those big hospitals is far fewer. And you could hopefully then find appropriate facilities where you do have windows that open, balconies, ventilation systems that are modern or have been upgraded in order to try and prevent the spread of COVID-19 through the air.
What you're saying makes sense. So why do you think there's been so much resistance to doing this up until now?
Well, I think the hotel quarantine system as we've got it has worked relatively well. We have had a large number of returned travellers come through with, you know, relatively few outbreaks. The problem is this is a numbers game, and even if you have a very, very small proportion of leaks from hotel quarantine, those, if not picked up really early in the community, can exponentially increase and cause devastating outbreaks. And with new strains of the virus that are more transmissible and perhaps more dangerous if you get infected with them, it becomes even more urgent that we do something differently, an urgency that perhaps wasn't there earlier. I also think it's been quite problematic having an argy-bargy between the federal government and the states about who's responsible for quarantine facilities, but I can understand why Scott Morrison wouldn't want to take responsibility, because this is a very tricky task, and politically, especially if you're facing an election later in the year, it's very unattractive to stand up and put your hand up for responsibility for hotel quarantine.
You talk about the kind of people that you could send to regional quarantine, younger people that are at less risk of severe complications from the virus. But it still seems that it's almost impossible to guarantee the virus won't escape quarantine. So no matter how good the quarantine program or how low risk the people are staying in those hotels, would it still not increase the risk to people living in the regions?
Well, it really depends upon the interaction between people who are in the quarantine facility and members of the general community. So if, for example, the staff who were working at those regional quarantine facilities also lived in appropriate housing on site and essentially had all of the things they needed brought to them rather than going out into the regional communities to access them, that's not necessarily going to pose any particularly increased risk to that community. And the other thing I mentioned was the possibility of vaccinating people before they come back to Australia. So what we're seeing now is some very highly efficacious vaccines, particularly the mRNA vaccines made by Pfizer and Moderna. There might be opportunities for us to vaccinate people before they even get to Australia, which would dramatically reduce the chance of them bringing COVID with them. And I think one thing that the government has not seemingly done so far is reach out to friendly countries like the United States, like the United Kingdom, and explore whether there's any possibility that we could actually start that process now. If you can't, then the next option is not just to vaccinate the people who are working in those quarantine facilities, but maybe also vaccinate the returning travellers as soon as they get here in the hope that there might be some early immunity benefit from that vaccine and it reduces the chance of them picking it up from other returning travellers.
Well, let's move on to the topic of vaccines a bit more broadly. We've received news today that the first vaccines have arrived in Australia, with the first jabs to commence on the 22nd of February. Quarantine and border workers, as well as frontline healthcare staff, are among those who will get the vaccine first. So you do think this will go some way to help ensuring the security of our quarantine?
Yes, I think this will be a fantastic complement to the risk control measures that are currently in place. Unfortunately, the vaccines aren't effective as soon as you get the first jab. With the Pfizer vaccine that's arrived, the recommended schedule is for the first dose to be followed by a second dose 3 weeks later, and it's thought that there's another week after that before you get the full benefit of the vaccination, but there might be some smaller benefits in the period before then. So the quicker we can roll out these vaccines to those people who are most at risk, the better. And I wonder about whether people like flight crews might also be included in that program. But from what I've seen, there's limited detail about exactly who's going to be eligible, including frontline healthcare workers, which has not been clearly defined as far as I'm aware.
You're a healthcare worker yourself. What are you hearing from your colleagues? Are the majority happy to get the vaccine, or is there some hesitancy among healthcare workers? What's the general consensus?
Well, there's not really the vaccine. There are several vaccines, and the one that has been spoken about the most is the Pfizer vaccine, because that's the one that has TGA approval. It also happens to be regarded as one of the most highly efficacious vaccines, with a very high rate of protection against severe COVID-19 disease, but also a very high rate of protection against any symptomatic COVID disease. So certainly all of my healthcare worker colleagues are very eager to access that TGA approved vaccine as soon as it's available. And the hesitancy that has been spoken about has not generally been applied to that vaccine.
All right, Benjamin, will you be lining up to get that TGA approved vaccine yourself?
Absolutely. If there was an option to get the Pfizer vaccine on the 22nd, I'd be rolling up my sleeves straight away, and I'd be volunteering to help vaccinate other people as well.
Benjamin, thanks so much for sharing your thoughts and your time with us today.
My pleasure. Thanks very much.
That's Dr. Benjamin Vaness. He's co-founder of advocacy group Healthcare Workers Australia.